The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Good morning, church. So glad you're here today. Pastor Jay said the senior adults like to party, and Pastor Jerry leaned over to me. He said, yeah, as long as it's during the day. Once the sun goes down, we're done. So many good things happening for this season. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Did you? I hope you did. We were with the Serranos for, we had way more food than two families can eat. And immediately after our Thanksgiving lunch, I found a comfy spot on their couch and I went into a food coma. It was awesome. Anyone else have a food coma over Thanksgiving? So it was really, really good. But I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. How many of you have already begun decorating for Christmas? Oh, yeah. All right. So just so you know, according to my rules, it is now legal to decorate for Christmas. My family doesn't listen to me, but I always tell them you have to wait till after Thanksgiving. So do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and tell them your favorite Christmas song, okay? Go ahead. Just tell them your favorite Christmas song. Just pick one. Don't start singing it. I see he's singing it up there. All right. Tell them your favorite Christmas song. And I know that our online audience has already been welcomed. I want to welcome you as well. And I'm going to tell our online audience, this is your warning that we're going to be doing communion at the end of service. And so if you're here, you don't have to worry about this. We're ready for you. But if you're watching online, you might need to run to your kitchen and find something liquid and something solid to do communion with there as you're watching with us. So I can't wait to talk to Jen later and see what she does communion with us today. She's watching online. So a few years ago, Pastor Tyler and Pastor Jason and I were in Dallas for a conference, and it just so happened that the State Fair of Texas was happening at the same time. So we had to go, of course. And one of our favorite parts of the State Fair of Texas is all of the fried foods. I mean, there's just too many to count. So we tried a bunch of fried foods. I had a corn dog. We had root beer. We had Dr. Pepper. Ice cream. We played some games. We rode a few rides, and one of the rides or attractions, I guess, was this fun house. And so it was pretty comical, you know, these grown men going through the fun house, and you know, the floors move and the walls are slanting, and they've got, you know, things going on with the lighting to kind of make it look funky. And so we're going through it, and we're having a really good time. And then we came to the room that has all of the mirrors. Have you ever seen this or been around it? So you stand in front of the mirror, and it's designed so that one mirror makes you look really tall, and another makes you look like really short and round, kind of like a blueberry in the Willy Wonka. Like, that's kind of what you look like. Or one just, you know, it's just all these funky, and we had such a blast. I mean, we were just like, one of us would stand in front of the mirror and we'd all laugh, and the other, and we're just having a wonderful time enjoying this. And I was thinking about it this week, because those type of mirrors, they play tricks on your eyes, or I might say it this way, they give you a different perspective. And today, I'm hoping to give you a different perspective when it comes to your relationship with the Lord. Now, I've seen a lot of perspectives over the years as a pastor, and what I'm talking about is, how do you see God? Like, what is your perception of God? You see, some people see God as like this, I'll call it like a genie in the bottle, meaning I call out to him when I need help, right? It's like, I just kind of rub the bottle, and out he pops, and I'm like, hey, I need a healing. You know, that's kind of one of my wishes today, right? And a few months go by, and we rub the bottle again. Hey, God, here's my new prayer request. And some people, that's just the perception. They just live life, and when they need something, they cry out to God. Other people, their perception is of a God who's angry and distant. I mean, he never comes close, and he's always upset. And not only is he always upset, he's like waiting for me to mess up. And as soon as I mess up, he's gonna zap me. He's gonna do something about it. Another perception might be of a God who's high and mighty, right? I mean, he's on his throne, he's inaccessible, he's super high, and we're super low, and we'll never, you know, we can't reach him, we can't get there. I mean, there's all of these perspectives of God, and I think there's a better one. I think there's one that we need to think about today that's a little more accurate. Now, we're talking about this because we're in a series called Come Near, and this series is based out of a verse it's been our theme verse this entire year, really. It's in James chapter 4, verse 8, and it just says this. It says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. I believe that this verse gives us proper perspective on the Lord and our ability to have relationship with him. And so today, I want to talk to you. We've been talking a lot about the presence of God in this series. And today, I want to talk to you about God's presence in this way. I want to talk to you about a personal presence, a personal presence. That's the perspective I'm hoping to convey to you today. So do me a favor as we're getting started, and we're going to pause and we're just going to pray. And many of you know this. This is a rhythm of how we do things around here. But we like to pause right as we're getting into God's Word and position our hearts so that the Holy Spirit can speak to us here today. Because I believe, I think you do as well, because that's why you're here, that God has a word for you and for your family today. Does anyone believe that? And so let's just pray this prayer right now. Father, we ask right now as we open up your word that you would speak to us. Lord, we're gathered together. We believe there's a collective word today for your people that call Harvest home. But what we're doing is we're positioning our hearts because, Lord, I want to hear your voice today. We're asking that you would speak to us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, if you were sick and you were in the hospital, which friend would you rather have? Okay, I'm going to give you two types of friends. Which friend would you rather have? Now, to be fair, you're going to have to pretend this situation is happening in like 2019 when friends could actually visit you in the hospital, okay? Right now, this doesn't work. But let's just pretend that you're sick, you're in the hospital, and I get word, you know, that you're sick. And so friend number one is I come to the hospital and I go to the front desk and I say, hey, my friend is here and here's the room number, and I brought a care package, and I set the care package up on the desk and I say, would you deliver this to their room and make sure they know that Pastor Jason dropped this off for them and that I love them. I love them dearly, right? So the nurse comes in, brings the package to your room. Hey, Pastor Jason came. This is for you. It's got a few of your favorite things in there, and by the way, he says that he loves you. Okay, that's friend number one. Friend number two is that I find out you're in the hospital. I come to the hospital. I come, you know, maybe in the morning, and I spend maybe an hour, and we talk, and we check in, and I pray with you. And a little later in the day, I'll send you a text, make sure, you know, because you were waiting on a test, and hey, how did that go? And then that night, I come back, and I sneak Chick-fil-A into your room, okay? Because nobody likes hospital food, right? Quick poll, how many of you have ever snuck food into a hospital for a friend? Any of you? All right, you can admit this today. It's okay. It's not like sin or anything, all right? It's one of my favorite things to do is to sneak Chick-fil-A into the hospitals for my friends, all right? So quick poll, how many of you would rather friend number one? Anyone? Friend number one? Right now the extreme introverts are, yeah, I didn't want to see you anyway. No. Friend number two. How many of you want friend number two? There we go. Friend number two is a friend who wants to come and to sit and to talk with you, right? To spend time with you, to really know how things are going and to check back on you. And, you know, that's the kind of friend I think really all of us want. Now hear me this morning, because we're talking about a personal presence, right? And here's what I want you to know, is that God wants to be your friend who sits and talks. He wants to be the friend that knows you intimately. He wants to be the friend that spends time with you on a regular basis. Or I'll say it this way. He wants a personal relationship with you. He doesn't want to just like drive-by blessings, right? Like, oh, it's Sunday. Here you go, right? Here's a little special something for you, a little care package that I've prepared for you. Listen to this verse. John chapter 15, verse 15 says this: "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing." Watch this. "But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father," this is Jesus talking, "all the things I've learned from my Father, from God, I have made known to you." That language there, "I've made known," could also be translated, "I've told you." All the things that my Father has taught me, I have then come to you because you're my friend, and I've talked to you about these things. I've told you these things. So let's talk about personal presence. I have three kind of points today to help us to think about this. And the first one, I'll have to explain it, but I think it'll make sense after I do. The first one is this, is God is not a robot, okay? God is not a robot. Let me see if I can help you to understand where I'm going with this. We communicate in two ways, kind of as we live our lives. We communicate two ways. We communicate mechanically and we communicate personally, okay? Mechanically and personally. So when you communicate with a machine, that is a mechanical communication, okay? I'll give you some examples because some of you are like, I don't know what you mean. I don't have robots in my house, you know? Here's what I mean, okay? I don't know if this happens in your house or not, but often in the mornings, I'll be getting ready and I'll hear in the kitchen, I'll hear one of the girls, "Alexa, what's the weather today?" Does that happen in any of your houses, right? "Alexa, turn up the volume. Alexa, change the song." You know, all these things. That's mechanical communication, right? But by the way, so our youngest daughter, I've noticed, Eden, she gets really bossy with Alexa. Does this happen in your house? I mean, and I think this is what happens. Lisa and I boss around Mercy. Mercy bosses around Ava. This is kind of the order in our family. Ava bosses around Eden. Eden looked around and was like, "I don't have anyone to boss." Alexa, right? So she bosses around Alexa, right? So this is like mechanical. You tell Alexa what you want, right? You boss her around. You ask her a question, right? This is mechanical communication, right? Here's another one. Most of you, maybe probably all of you, you probably got to church today in a vehicle, in a car or a truck. And so you communicated mechanically on your way to church with your vehicle. You pressed the gas pedal if you wanted to go faster. You pressed the brake to go slower. You know, you turned on the radio. You turned on a turn signal. You know, those are mechanical communications, right? Now, some of you also maybe yelled at your car or yelled at someone else's car. That's a different category, right? If you're on your computer or, you know, you want to type a message or send a file or read an email, that's mechanical communication. And I'm talking about this because there's so much mechanical communication in our culture that this idea can kind of sneak into our faith, right? This weekend, I asked you earlier if you decorated for Christmas, and a bunch of you have. This weekend, we decorated for Christmas at the Dickinson house, and so we divided to conquer, okay? So the girls put up the tree. I carried the boxes in. The girls put up the tree and decorated the tree and hung the stockings and you know, all the decor there in the living room to make sure it looked Christmassy, and I was responsible for putting lights up on the outside of the house. Now, I'll tell you what I had the most fun with in this experience was that I set all of the outside lights up on smart plugs so that I can control them with an app on my phone. I wasn't that excited about the lights. I was excited that I now have control over my lights. It was really fun. And last night I realized I could pair that with Alexa. It was so much fun. So I brought all the girls in. I said, "Girls, look at the tree." And they all looked at the tree and I said, "Alexa, turn the lights on." Bam! They came. I'm like, I am so awesome, right? I don't know why it made me feel so awesome, but it just, like, I'm in control of the lighting on my house. I can tell it to turn on my Christmas lights, and it does. But here's what I'm trying to help us with today. There's more to life than mechanical communication. Like, it's one of the lowest levels, right? Turn the lights on. Turn the volume up. You know, do this, do that. And there's definitely more to your spiritual life than mechanical communication. God's not a robot. Are you getting it? He doesn't just want to communicate with you in a mechanical, you know, version. Like, oh, it's the time of day that I talk to God. Here's my three things that I'm talking about today. Oh, it's Sunday. It's time to go. Like, that's this mechanical I wish I could do the robot better. I think this point would make sense. Like, very just mechanical. God wants to be your friend. He wants to sit and talk with you and spend time with you. Maybe this way, the series is this, come near. He wants to come near. He wants you to come near. And he wants to come near to you. I'll just explore it a little bit further. You know, we have all these apps on our phones, and they're wonderful. I mean, they really are. Like, I've realized I'm spoiled because if I'm by myself and I'm trying to decide where I'm going to eat lunch on a particular day, often the way I make the decision is I just look at my apps and I go, where can I order so that when I get there, it's ready for me, and I don't have to wait, right? Anyone else think like that? It's like, and I'm actually perturbed by the people who don't order ahead of time, and they make me wait anyway, because I get there, and I'm like, if you would have, I'm going to do a class. Like, do you know you can order ahead of time, you know? That's how I make my decisions now. Now, think about how that can kind of sneak into our faith, right? Wouldn't it be nice if God had an app, right? So that we could just, you know, check in, you know, so we could place our order ahead of time. You know, like, hey, God, I'm going to be at Harvest on Sunday, and here's what I'm hoping to pick up, right? And then we get upset, like, well, God, I'm here. What's going on? Can you see how it's these mentalities that can just sneak into our spiritual life, right? How about the weather apps? I don't know. I realized this week I have two weather apps, a sunrise sunset app that helps me know when the sun's coming, and a wind app. I have four different apps to help me with, like, figuring out the weather, right? And so I don't know if you do this, but, like, we're packing for a trip, and it's like, you know, right away, like, well, what's the weather going to be in that location at this time? You know, so I need to know what to pack, right? And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if God had an app, like, what's happening next week, God, so I can be ready, you know? Do I need my raincoat? Do I need, you know, what do I need, God? Or what about entertainment apps, right? I don't know how many you have. I have five different apps that I can watch movies and TV and shows on. And you know, I realized as I was looking at that, I was like, you know, we're such a culture of being entertained, right? So I was watching a movie the other day. I was alone, and so I was eating something. I put the TV on. About 10 minutes in, I was like, what in the world am I watching? Like, this is ridiculous, right? So it was nice because I just changed it. It was like, I realized that I wasn't being entertained any longer, so I just changed it. I just changed the channel, right? Just like, and I just thinking about all the mechanical communication that we have in the world, and it can sneak in. And that's why I wanted to remind you today that God's not a robot, right? He's a person, and he wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to come near. He wants to be personal. He wants to be a friend. There's a guy in the Bible named Abraham who's actually called a friend of God. James chapter 2, verse 23, it says this, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Watch this. And he was called the friend of God. The friend of God. This is the type of God that we serve. He wants to be close to us. Now, there's a lot of stories we could read about Abraham, but there's this one conversation that I want to read today because I love the back and forth between Abraham and God. It's not mechanical at all. In fact, this week I was talking with Richard Gibbons, and he mentioned this story to me in our conversation, and so I just, like, after our meeting, I went back to reread it, and it just, I loved it. It struck me how personal that God is with his people. Watch this. Genesis chapter 18. Here's the story. It's kind of a long story, but it's fun. Genesis 18, the Lord said, which I think this is hilarious. So the context is Abraham's there with some other people, and God, it's like God's, have you ever said something in a way that you want other people to hear it, right? It's like I might be talking, you know, to Andrew, but if I say it in a particular way, then Guy gets to hear it, even though I'm talking to Andrew. Does that make sense? This is what God's doing, right? God's saying something, but he wants other people to hear it. So God says, shall I hide my plans from Abraham, what I'm doing? And he looks over and guy's like, huh? Right? This is what's happened. This is the context. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. Watch this. For I have known him, right? So I've talked to him. You can already tell he's personally connected with Abraham. I've known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And I'll just point out that word spoken again. There's a relationship between God and Abraham. They talk, right? Verse 20, and the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they've done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. Verse 22, then the men turned away. So the group that was with Abraham, the men turned away and went towards Sodom. But Abraham, he does something different. He stood still before the Lord, and Abraham, here's our series. He came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Before we go further, just quickly, just pay attention. Two things that Abraham did that if you want to hear God, here's what Abraham did. Stop what you're doing and get close. Okay, really simple. Stop what you're doing and get close. The other men in the story, right, they hear the voice of God, but they turn and they go the other way. Abraham stops and he comes near. He literally uses those words. He comes near to God. Abraham stopped and he came near. And here's the rest of the conversation. Verse 24. Suppose, this is Abraham to God, suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. So if you missed it, God's saying, because of the unrighteousness, I'm going to destroy this city. And Abraham says back, says, God, what if there were 50 righteous people in this city? Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Watch, I love, because this is part of what I love about this story. This is not a mechanical conversation. This is personal. So watch Abraham, listen to his tone. He says, far be it from you to do such a thing as this. Do you sense that it's like he's trying to manipulate God? I don't know if you've ever prayed prayers like this. He's trying to, like, God, there's no way. Far be it from you. I mean, if there's 50 righteous, there's no way you're going to do this, that you're going to slay the righteous with the wicked. You know, far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth be right? And so the Lord replies. So there's this back and forth, right? The Lord replies, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And then Abraham answers back and forth, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. He's trying to create some humility, but it feels a little false, doesn't it? It's like he's already come to God with this request, but now he's like, oh, I who am dust. You know, suppose, God, there were 5 less than the 50. Would you destroy the city for lack of 5? And so God said, if I find 45, I will not destroy it. And Abraham says again, and he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there would be 40, right? I love the negotiation, right? Just what about 40? And so he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. And then he says, let not the Lord be angry. I'm gonna talk again. Suppose 30 shall be found. And he says, if I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, indeed now, I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 shall be found. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. And he said, let the Lord not be angry, and I will speak. But once more, suppose there are 10 that should be found. And God says, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way. As soon as he'd finished speaking, I'm underlining that word in my note, like there's this back and forth, this personal relationship. And so Abraham returned to his place. I don't know what you do when you read the Bible, but sometimes, and this is one of those times for me, I LOL when I read some of these stories. Like, when I read this one, I'm like, Abraham, what are you thinking here? And I'm also like, why'd you stop at 10? You should have kept going. Like, you had God moving in the right direction, right? But I love this this back and forth. And I don't know if you've ever had this type of a conversation with God, this back and forth, this ongoing conversation. Let me just tell you, this is what God's desire is. He's not a robot. He wants a personal relationship with you. In fact, that's number two, is God speaks to people. God speaks to people. Go throughout the Bible sometime and just take note of all of the people that the Bible records that God is talking to, right? We just read about Abraham, but I mean, you go through it. This is just a quick list. You have Isaac and Jacob and Adam and Eve and Moses and David and Solomon and Hosea and Joel and Amos and Nehemiah and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Zechariah and Malachi and Paul. Now we're in the New Testament, and Luke and all of the 12 disciples and even a guy named Cornelius, and I'm just mentioning to him because Cornelius wasn't even a believer, and God's talking to him, right? All throughout the Bible, we see this pattern that God's talking with people. God's talking with people, and I'm saying this today because there are some who would say, yeah, Pastor, in the Bible, God talked with people, but he doesn't do it anymore, right? Like that's what happened then, but when the last apostle died, that stopped. Like, that's not how it happens anymore. Let me just tell you this. We actually have an advantage today because Jesus said as he was leaving the earth, he said, hey, I'm going to send you a gift. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to live inside of you. And the Holy Spirit wants to help you to hear the voice of my Father. The Holy Spirit wants to be there to empower you. The Holy Spirit wants to bring gifts with him. The Holy Spirit, listen, we actually have an advantage to this idea of spending time with God and hearing his voice because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. In fact, I just say it this way. I think it's easier for us to hear the voice of God because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Let me just show you one verse that kind of proves this. John chapter 16, now one chapter over from where we started, verse 12. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he's talking about what he hears from the Father, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit, who lives inside of followers of Christ, helps us in this communication with the Father, this hearing his voice, this personal relationship with the Father. I don't know if you remember, some of you were here last week, and at the end, Teen Challenge was here, and I felt like I had a couple of prophetic words and things to pray and to guide us in that time. And Robert was here, Pastor Robert, who directs the Teen Challenge. And I remember I watched him as we went in that last time of worship. He came to the altar and he bowed, he knelt here and he was worshiping. And the Holy Spirit just prompted me as I looked over and I saw him. And all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit talking to me. And I felt like I was supposed to share this with Robert, but it just makes so much sense for us today in this conversation because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, you can hear my whispers when you come and bow at my feet. And it's just this idea that when we come close, right, you can hear the voice of God when you come close in a way that you cannot hear at a distance. When you run to and you fall at his feet, like if I were, of course I'm wearing a mic so it wouldn't work, but if I took the mic off and I began to whisper, if you wanted to hear what I was saying to you, you would have to come close in order to hear those whispers. Can I just tell you that I believe that God talks to people still today? I don't believe that it ended with the New Testament. I don't believe that ended. But I also believe that often the voice of God, he whispers, not because he's trying to keep secrets, but because he wants you to come close. He wants you to, you know, it's like, I remember, you know, when Eden was little, she's still kind of this way, but when she was little, she loved secrets. And she loved to, like, she'd crawl up in my lap, and it was funny because she loved secrets, but she didn't have a good secret voice. Am I making sense? So she'd cup her ears and cup her hands and put them to my ear, and it'd be like this, like, Daddy, I have a secret! And the whole house can hear, and I'm like, shh, right? And I whisper and I try to mom, I'm like, hey, Eden, I have a secret for you. And she'd go, Daddy, what's your secret? And I'm like, shh. I just have this idea in my head of my little girl crawling up in my lap and saying, I have a secret for you that our Heavenly Father loves when we find that quiet place and we whisper into his ear and we say, God, I'm here to talk to you. In fact, I think that's what happens on Sundays when we pray that prayer, that 30-second prayer. What we're really saying is, God, will you whisper to me today? While your word's being taught, while your word's being read, while all of us are listening, and there's this communal word, while that's happening, Holy Spirit, will you whisper to me? That thing I've been praying about, thinking about, staying up at night, wondering and worrying, would you help me? Would you whisper to me? Because God talks to people. Here's the last one today, is that I've kind of been talking about this all the way through, but I made it a point because I want to make sure you get it. God wants to be your friend. God wants to be your friend. My best friend here on earth is, his name is Derek. And the other day, I was on the phone with Derek, and the girls were in the car with me, and I hung up, and one of the girls said to me, said, Dad, how often do you think you talk to Derek? And I said, well, today I talked to him four times, four separate times today we talked. And that doesn't happen every day, but it was one of those days. We had a lot going on, and I'd called him, and he had called me, and I don't know, do you have a friend like that? I hope you do. I hope you have a friend that, just like you can call them, like any day, any time, they'll celebrate with you, but they also cry with you, you know, they drop everything to come and help you. Like, listen, you need a friend like that, right? And here's the idea, this is what I'm talking about, God wants to be your friend, is that we talk to our friends more than we talk to everyone else, right? There's a special relationship there. There's conversations that I can have with my best friend that I can't have with the stranger at the checkout line at Smith's, right? Like, I'm not going to just, hello, hi, we don't know each other, but can I share my deep secrets with you, you know? They'd run for their life, right? We share things with our friends that we don't share with anyone else, and I want to encourage you today, God wants to be your friend. We looked at this passage a few weeks ago. We talked about Moses. You might remember where Moses came to the tent of meeting. Do you remember that passage in Exodus? He came to the tent of meeting, and it says this at the end of it, Exodus 33:11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face. This is how the scripture describes it. Face to face as one speaks to a friend. I think it's a great explanation of the friendship that the relationship that God wants with you and I, that he would talk to us face to face as a friend. In fact, since the Garden of Eden, this has been the desire of God. You go back to Genesis, and God would come into the garden, and he would walk with Adam and Eve, it says. They'd walk through the garden, and they would talk. They would have conversations. They spent time together. They were friends. They'd sit, and they'd just talk, right? Now, here's the danger in talking about God wants to be your friend is that our context for friendship is other people here on this earth, right? Let me just ask you a dangerous question. I don't mean to stir up negative emotions, but how many of you have been betrayed by a friend before? Anyone? Yeah, probably all of us, right? We've been betrayed by friends. We've been hurt by friends, right? How many of you say, you know, there's someone that I used to be friends with? Anyone? Like, yep, we're not friends anymore, right? This is the problem, talking about God wants to be your friend, is for some of you, as soon as I said that, you thought of the person you used to be friends with. You thought of the friend that betrayed you. You thought of the friend, like, I don't know, that's not the kind of friend I want. Here's the good news, is that God is a way better friend than you are. And he's a way better friend than your best friend, and he's a way better friend than the friend that you used to be friends with. Am I making sense? Let me show you a couple scriptures just real quick. Because friendships are tricky. They really are. But not the friendship with God. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6 says, if someone asks, what are these wounds on your body? you're gonna get the picture here. When they ask, talking about Jesus, what are these wounds on your body? They will answer, the wounds I was given at the house of my friends. In other words, Jesus has been wounded by his friends, and yet he's still a faithful friend. Matthew 26, watch this. This is at the Last Supper. What an image this gives us. Matthew 26, verse 48. Now the betrayer, Judas, had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man that you need to arrest. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. And Jesus replied, This is a hard scripture for me because I don't like Judas very much. I don't know about you. Like, I've taken up the offense on behalf of Jesus for Judas. I'm like, Judas, right? And Jesus says to Judas, he says, "Do what you came for, friend." Even as he's being betrayed, Jesus says to Judas, "You're my friend." Now go back to where we started in John 15. I want to go two verses earlier and watch this. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." How do we know that Jesus wants to be your friend? Because he proved it by laying down his own life for you and for me. He proved his love. You know, it's one thing to say that you love someone with your mouth, and it's another to prove it with your actions, with your life. Jesus didn't just say to you and I love you. He proved it. He said, "You know what? I'll take on the sin." And often we talk to sin, about sin, and we'll say, "He took on the sin of the world." But think about it this way. He took on your sin. He took on my sin. So let's just make it personal today. He took on my sin to prove that he loved me, to prove that he doesn't want to be a far-off God. He's not an angry God. He's not a distant God. He's a God who wants to be our friend. So today, I thought we would end by taking communion. What a beautiful way to remember the price that was paid so that we could be friends with God. So that, you know, we've talked a lot in this series about the access that we have to God's presence. It's the omnipresence of God. We can get in anytime, anywhere. It's easy. It's awesome. But that's only possible because Jesus went to the cross to pay for your sins and my sins. And so here in just a moment, our worship team is going to lead us in a final song. And here's what we're going to do is they begin, our hospitality team is going to come and they're going to distribute. We've got these little communion packets ready. It's all in there, the juice and the bread. And after you get that, once you have it, would you just, after you get it, I'm going to have you stand and we're going to spend a few minutes worshiping. Just hold it. I'll come back and I'll give you some direction. We'll do communion together. But just stand and let's worship and spend a few minutes in his presence. And then we're going to take communion and we're going to remember the price that was paid. And we're going to celebrate this idea that God wants to be your friend, all right? Worship team, lead us. Hospitality team, go ahead and distribute the elements.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.